Tonight, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 for our study. 2 Peter chapter 2 is probably one of the most intense chapters in the New Testament. And the reason I say that is going back to study 2 Peter chapter 2, it has to do and it teaches concerning the false teachers that are walking in the flesh. This is a chapter that Peter takes much time to share with us. As he begins in chapter 2, let's go back just for a little bit. We're going to be dealing with verses 10 through 17 tonight, but he starts in verse 1. He says, "But there will be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not, notice, slumber." Now, it's really important that we understand there's a class of people in the world today that Peter's going to talk about that are not afraid of God. They don't care. And these people are not afraid of Satan or his angels. And they talk of dignitaries. They talk of people that know God and they have no fear of speaking against them. And it's incredible. When I was reading, I was just kind of blown away as I was studying, because when you begin to learn here that Peter is not only exposing false teaching, but he's exposing false teachers. Number one, who are denying the sovereignty and lordship of Jesus Christ. The sovereignty and lordship of Jesus Christ. Which means they also deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, his deity, his bodily resurrection, and his second coming, and the kingdom age. They don't really believe in a literal hell or a heaven. And so when you're talking to people like that, these are people that can really care less. You know, they don't want to listen to you, and they will say whatever they want to say to you without fear. And these are the type of people that the Bible talks about in the last days, right before Christ comes again. Now, these kind of people have to be here today, because when the Antichrist comes, he is going to be able to persuade people by doing false miracles and wonders. They're going to believe the lie rather than the truth. So we begin to see that in the world today, the world is preparing to accept the Antichrist and not the real Christ. Even when you go to Israel and you talk to the Israeli people, when you talk to the Jew, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. But God gave them over to a delusion or to the lie for a season. And when the Antichrist comes, they will accept him as the Messiah. And then he will betray them in the first 3.5 years of the last 7 years of world history. He will kill 2/3 of the Jewish nation of Israel. And only 1/3 will be spared, as their eyes and their hearts are touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, every Jew would be destroyed. So these types of people are heretics. They do not believe in the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They believe false teaching. They don't accept Christology or the doctrines of Christ. You talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons. You talk to the Unitarian Church. You talk to the Buddhists. You talk to those that are in the movement of Krishna. You talk to people in Islam and the way they twist the scriptures. And one of the things that you can always tell or know whether it's a false religion or not, they're always denying the deity of Jesus Christ. Remember that. They're denying it. They don't believe in it. They don't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and he was 100% God and 100% human. They're constantly denying that. And yet these people, when you think about each one of them individually, you have to understand that there's a final judgment that is coming that a lot of people really don't want to believe in. That we as Christians, as believers, because we have been born again of the Holy Spirit. You know, we were in the world, we were sinners in the world, we did our own thing, and then when God or someone told us about Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit began to work in my life, began to work in your life, which the Holy Spirit brought you to a place of conviction and repentance in your life in order to be born again of the Holy Spirit of God. You had a new nature. You became a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. And along that side of believing, as you got a Bible, you started reading it, you started praying, and then you started sitting in Bible study. And what did God do? God began to open your eyes as you read the Bible and as you read the Bible. And God now speaks to you in a spiritual way because you're a spiritual person now, where before you were just a natural person. You did not have the Spirit of God. Paul talks to us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, 15, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, of the natural man and the spiritual man and the carnal man. And he develops that. He says the natural man doesn't understand the things of God because they're foolishness to him. You see? The Bible's foolishness to them. The virgin birth is foolishness to them. Sin to them is not real. They believe in enjoying sin. They believe in enjoying the wild life. They believe that when they die, that's it. There's no heaven. There's no hell. So we might as well live it up and party it up right now at this very moment. And when death comes, that's it. We become non-existent. And then you have on the other side, the carnal man. And the carnal man is the one that is always striving, one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus Christ. And he's split between two opinions. He fears God, but at the same time, he ventures into the world. And he doesn't realize that venturing into the world could be very dangerous. It would be like Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Living among the homosexuals, living among the lesbians, living among the fornicators, living among the adulterers, living among these people that do not fear God, and you're hanging out with them, and you're partying with them, and at the same time, you're trying to come to church, you're trying to read your Bible, you're trying to pray, but nothing is really happening in your life. You're standing still. You're going backwards instead of forward. But the spiritual man that he talks about in verse 15 is the one that has the Spirit of God and he discerns all things. He chooses what he's going to do. He doesn't just do it. He thinks about it. If I do this, will it harm me or will it build me up? Will I offend Christ or will it build up Christ in the things that I do and bring glory to Christ? You see? And the reason they call him the spiritual man is because he's not only discerning, he's developing, he's growing by coming to Bible study, by going home and praying and reading the Bible and maturing and coming to a place of maturity. He knows how to discern what's evil and what's not evil. And so it's really important for us to understand that Peter is talking in a time where the Roman government is ruling, they're prosecuting and persecuting Christians. At the same time, there are false teachers in that time, as there are today, that are trying to deceive Christians and they're trying to deceive people to keep them out of the kingdom of God. And they're saying to them, there is no literal hell. There is no heaven. The Bible is not God's word. This was man written. And I find it interesting. I love that because it challenges me to study more, to read more, and to go and search what the scripture says. It's incredible that if the Bible is not real, then why are archaeologists reading the Bible and finding all of the old cities in the Old Testament? Think about that. Amazing. And it's really stories that have taken place. And the reason that all these stories are put together, compacted in 39 books of the Old Testament and 27 in the New, is because God wants you to know that He doesn't preach to perfect people. Imperfect people like you and me. We trip and we fall and we make mistakes. But there is one thing we can compromise on, that God is a holy God. That God is a holy God. And that's what makes me, when I trip and fall, immediately repent and come back to God immediately. Because of His love, because of His grace, because of His mercies, I need to come back immediately. But on the other side, the carnal person listens to his own conscience and listens to Satan. And what do? Instead of repenting, they drift away further from the truth of God. And they compromise even deeper. It's so easy to drift away from the truth. I told you I was surfing and I was at Huntington Beach and gave my keys to the lifeguard. And I went out surfing and came back and I had to get back to do church on Sunday night. And the guy says, "I don't have your keys." "What do you mean? I gave them to you." "No, I don't have them." I said, "Well, maybe you dropped them in the sand." "No, you never gave them to me. I don't have them." So I thought, "Oh man, this guy's probably give it to his friend and they took my car now." And oh man, you know, they worked it out. So I started walking down the beach, you know, from one lifeguard to the other. And all of a sudden, I noticed as I was walking down the street that my car was parked there. And what happened is, as I went out to surf, I drifted away. And what happened is that the Lord taught me a great spiritual lesson, that I thought I was at the right place, but I was far away. And think of how many people spiritually are like that. That you think you're right on, but you're not. You've drifted away from the truth of God. And the Lord calls you back in His love and grace and mercy. So what John does in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, he comes and he writes and he wants to warn people in the world before the 7-year tribulation period, at the second coming of Jesus Christ and then the kingdom age after that, that people that come to Christ, you know, God forgives you, He cleanses you, washes you from all your sins. You're not going to hell anymore. But he wants to remind people that do not come to the truth of Jesus Christ that there is a literal hell, and hell is not a temperate place. You got to get that in your brain. It's only a place for a season. Because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, that hell and death and Satan and his angels and the Antichrist and the false prophet and everyone that has ever gone to hell and will go to hell, the books are going to be open, and whoever's name is not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire forever. Wow, that's heavy stuff. See, the only opportunity people get is right now. This is it. God gives you 70 years. The psalmist says 70 years, and then the psalmist says 80 years. You'll live. And if you live beyond that, it's a miracle of God. But 70 to 80 years, it's like nothing. It's like a vapor of smoke. And your priorities change. Your values change. I'm learning that as I get older, things that I thought were very valuable in my 30s and 40s, today I could care less. I care less. Because you're looking at a different value now. You're looking to eternity. Eternity. Nothing in this world is going to last. The only thing that will last is what you do for Christ, period. Bottom line. I mean, how many funerals have you ever seen where the actual person is being carried in this hearse, and behind the hearse is everything they ever owned? Of course not. Can you imagine? It would never happen. You come in naked, you leave naked. You come to your mother's womb as an infant, and think about this, the moment you come out of your mother's belly, okay, and you come up and they say it's a boy or a girl, the moment you take your first breath in this world is the first breath into what? Into death. You begin to die. You begin to die. Time begins. And then when you get old, this is what's amazing, what I'm learning, is that you start running into different situations that you look at your mother. I looked at my grandmother and my grandfather, and it seems like you go from infancy to infancy, where you got to wear diapers. Seriously, you got to be taken care of and cared for. That's why we have all these homes. Think about it. That when you're young, you don't think like that, oh man, I don't need anybody else to take care of me. I take care of myself. Oh, good. All right. We'll see. We'll see. Everybody. And then I thought how Peter had this mind where he's looking at what's going on in his time, and he knows that time is short. He knows that very soon he's going to be hanging upside down in a cross. They're going to kill him. And he has an urgency in his heart. Like, I have an urgency in my heart to see people get saved and to come to Christ. Why? Because there's so many false teachers out there that are deceiving people all the time. Lying to them. Television lies to you. Movies lie to you. Magazines lie to you. It's amazing how they have all these magazine racks, you know, and they have, you know, different magazines that appeal to different appetites. And they always put, you know, the guys that are the skinniest or well-built, you know, not the guys that are out of shape, because they wouldn't buy the magazine. Right? And the guys with the Porsche or the Cadillac or whatever, you know, because they're always trying to say, man, you can have it if you want it. All you got to do is just believe it. Think about it. It's a lie of the world. It's all plastic. Believe me, that those people that are in those magazines have problems just like you and me. And maybe more problems because of all their financial problems. Because the more you have, think about it, the more they try to keep and you can't. It's like Haggai, you know, when the Lord was talking to the prophet, he says, these people, man, I send them back from Babylon. They came back after serving 70 years. They came back, they started building their houses, and the reason that I brought them back is because I wanted them to come back and build the temple so they could worship again, rebuild it. But they got so busy with their lives in time that when they went out and built these beautiful homes, and then when they go to work in the fields, they would bring their cash in at home instead of going to the bank. They would have a bag at home and they would dig a hole in the ground and they stick that bag on the ground and put their money in. And God says, the more they put in, I drill a hole in the bottom, the more I take out. That's just the bottom line. God says, the more you make, the more I'll take. Because God has to be first in my life. Not you or me, God has to be first. And these false teachers that Peter's going to talk to us about, these people did not care for anybody but themselves. They did not care for anybody but themselves. So what does Peter do? He gives us a great warning, one of the most heaviest warning to the church about false teachers. Look how he begins in chapter 2, verse 10 through 17. He gives us the description of these false teachers. He says, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they're not afraid to speak evil of who? Dignitaries. Wow. There's a lot of stuff in there in verse 10. What's amazing here is he makes a strong statement here that these people are the evolutionists. They're the ones that, you know, when you talk to people in the world, if you go to college, secular college, you know, they really love, you know, nature. But they don't really believe in God. So they're like wild beasts. They're like the animal instinct. Their body, soul, but their spirit is dead. Where a Christian spirit is number one, their soul is number two, and the body is dead. Paul says that. And so these people come to this place where they're sitting there and they have self-will lives. Self-will lives. They don't care about anybody but number one, me. Nobody else. They don't feel sorry for the poor. They don't feel sorry for nobody. They take advantage of people. Advantage of people. It's amazing. He says here, notice that these false teachers are contradicting what? Truth. They contradict the truth of God. They love the lie rather than the truth. Remember what Paul said? Turn to Romans chapter 1 for a second, verse 18. Romans 1:18. Look what Paul says about these people. And this is Paul writing to the Romans again, saying that Peter was in Rome, remember? So he's writing and he says this. Starting in verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness." Now, these people that he's talking about, Paul and Peter, are people in the church. They're in the church. They're not outside the church also. They're in the church. And look what he says. He says, "Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, and his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." As you go outside tonight, well, maybe not here, but in the desert, you can see the universe, the stars. You know that God created the universe. You know, Galileo said there was only 6,000 stars, or 3,000. He was wrong. With the new telescopes that they have today, they have found out that there's millions and billions of galaxies beyond ours. So Galileo was wrong, you see. With modern technology, we've learned so much more about our Creator, where we live. But these false teachers are always lying, always trying to say, "Oh yeah, you know, the world is 60 million years old." Really? Where does it say that? When you go back and you study the Word of God, God made 24-hour days. He made 7 days, 1 week when he created the world. When you follow the biblical doctrines of the Bible, you understand what God is saying. But if people don't study God's Word or they reject it, then God gives them over to a reprobate mind. Look what Paul says. This is pretty incredible. Verse 20. He says, "For since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, they are without excuse. Because although they knew God," see, even though they knew God, "they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became empty in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened." They gave up the truth of God for emptiness. They believed evolution rather than creation. Look what else he says. "Professing to be wise, they became stupid, fools. And what do? They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men," notice that, "and birds, four-footed animals, creeping things." In archaeology, when they have uncovered in the city of Jerusalem, we were just there, and they uncovered the time of Jeremiah the prophet, they recognized that the city was burned by Babylon, so they found ashes in homes that were burned. And in those homes, when they went in and did the archaeology, they found hundreds of idols in the camp of Israel. Like Molech, Ashtaroth, I mean hundreds of gods in their homes instead of the living God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And check this out what he says. Therefore God gave them over to uncleanness and the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. So be it. Now watch this. For this reason, God gave them up to their vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. What does he mean by that? Lesbianism. Lesbianism. Verse 27. Likewise also the men leaving their natural use of the women. Did you see what he said? The men left the natural use of women. They knew it was wrong. And what do? They burn in their own lust one with another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, homosexuality. And what are they teaching today? They're teaching young kids today not to have normal sex. I can't use the word because I'm in public, but it's horrible what they're doing. Horrible. In the high schools, the girls are giving themselves to boys and doing things that are not natural, but are natural. Sick, what's happening? And those are our children. Those are your children. They need to be taught the Word of God. They need to know what God created. And that marriage is for a husband and wife to enjoy themselves. And that's why there's no adultery and there's no fornication. You wait upon God to bring you that partner that he has a plan for your life and her life so that you can be together for a long time. Bottom line, that's a family. Then he said what? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So you see, they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. So what happens? If you don't want God, God's not going to force himself on you. How many times do your people say, oh, God forced himself on me? He's not. You're a liar. Watch this. He says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their mind or their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. God said, you want to do that? Go ahead, destroy yourself. And then I'm going to judge you. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, notice, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to their parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, notice, but they also approve those who practice them. Wow. Which means you're sitting in a movie and you're watching a love scene or something horrible. And instead of going like this and getting up and leaving, you stay there and you watch. God says you're just as guilty as the movie star is, as you the watcher. He will judge you. You're just as guilty. Pretty heavy what the Word of God teaches. So now you see why Peter was so concerned. Peter is saying in chapter 2, verse 10, especially those who are walking not according to the Spirit, according to what? According to the flesh. And what? And the desires of uncleanness, and they despise authority. What does he mean by authority? Well, the word authority here means spiritual government. They don't want God to tell them what to do. They don't want it. God, don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. I don't want to hear it from you, God. Look what else they do. This is pretty heavy. They are presumptuous or arrogant, proud, and self-willed. That means self-pleasing. They don't care about the other persons. They only care about themselves. And then what else? And they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, or they're not afraid to speak evil of Jesus Christ or of his angels, like Michael and Gabriel and all the other angels. They're not afraid. They don't care at all. And then what else he says? Verse 11, notice the contrast. He says, were angels like Michael and Gabriel, the archangels, and then the seraphims and the cherubims and the millions and billions of angels, he says, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them, against the angels, before the Lord. He says, if these angels do not dare to judge any other angel in power, then how can these people not be afraid of God and speak like that? Think about that. They're not afraid of Satan. They're not afraid of his demons. They're not afraid to speak of the good angels and speaking of Jesus Christ. They're pretty far gone, these people that he's talking about here. They're not afraid to say anything. And then look what else he says, verse 12. He says, but false teachers, like natural bruised beasts. What does he mean? They have that animal instinct. They don't believe in God. They do whatever the world is doing. They do it full power. They don't care. They associate with crazy people. They associate with people that don't believe in God. They want to fulfill the desires of their flesh through pornography. Think about that. Through the different lusts of the flesh that are given to us. Drinking, drugs, all these things that are there to destroy a person's life and have no conscience, no conviction. This morning when I came out of surfing, I went out to Pedro Stockos and I was sitting there and there was this guy sitting there, young guy, maybe in his 25 years old. He looked like he was 40 years old, drinking a beer. I said, hey, you want something to eat? So I went and bought him a burrito and brought it to him, you know, and I was looking at him and I said, how old are you, man? He says, I'm only 22 years old. Think about that. In the hand of the grip of Satan. Already on his way to death. Already. In the street sleeping. His conscience becoming hardened every single day. And who's behind that? Satan. His demons. Think of how many people like that in the world we know that have been deceived by Satan and his demons. And then you think of all the people that are not afraid of God, they're not afraid of Satan, and at the same time, they're not afraid to die, and they live like hell on this world, just like Peter's saying here. And they deny the power of the truth of God. Check this out. Look what he says. But like natural beasts or wild animals, made to be caught and destroyed, they speak evil of things they don't understand. Notice that. When they read the Bible, they say the Bible is not God's word. They don't understand. Why? They don't have the Spirit of God. You see? He's telling you what they're doing. And will utterly perish in their own corruption. They're going to end up in hell in the lake of fire. They don't want to believe it, but that's the truth. They're going to be destroyed. And who's destroying them? Themselves. They rather believe the lie rather than the truth. And Satan, with those people, gives them up because Satan knows they're destroying themselves. They destroy themselves. So he doesn't waste his time. And think how many people like that that you and I know in the world today. Friends of ours. Relatives. Sons, daughters. Mom and dad. Grandpa and grandma. That hate you because you're a Christian. And they're always putting down God's word. Always putting God down. Always damning God. But you know what? We need to pray for them. Because there's power behind prayer. You might not see that now. But you know what? You can see it as God intervenes. As God intervenes, something will happen somehow, whatever. I know that many will go to hell, but I know that God is just and God is sovereign and God is graceful and he'll reach out because of his love to whoever wants to know him. To whoever wants to know him, he will do that. And then he says this, verse 13. He says, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, which means what? They're going to be paid by judgment. Remember, there's degrees in hell for people. And it's really important that we understand that when too much is given, much more is required according to knowledge. And you think of these people that don't understand that when you go to hell and you're there for a season, and then when you get from hell to the lake of fire, it's forever and ever and ever and ever. You'll never get out. And the devil will be there with you, and every demon and every foul person will be there forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire. You'll never see the light ever again. You'll never see God again. That's why Jude says, as they're moving into hell, we got to reach them and pluck them out of the fire. Your friends, your loved ones. Because once they take their last breath on this earth, that's done, it's over. You'll never see them again. It's the bottom line. The only chance they get, the only chance we get is right now, while we're here. Once we're done, we're done. Nobody can get another chance. No second chances after you die. So Peter is putting this picture with us tonight so that we can understand and maybe have a heart for people like this so that we can reach out to them before it's too late for them. Because if they ever cross that line that God has set up and they commit the unpardonable sin, not even God himself can save them. They're done. They're done. Forever. That's what the Bible teaches. Look at verse 13 now. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure, notice, to carouse, literally to rebel in the daytime, not in the nighttime. They do it 24/7, day or night, doesn't matter. They are spots and blemishes carousing. The word spots here, it's actually related to a dirt spot. Like, you know, in a white shirt, you get a dirt spot and you see the black, you know, I mean, the worst. The word is white, and then you get it stained, it's done. And then the word that he uses for blemishes here, it speaks of the person that is disfigured. Disfigured. It has a blemish, remember? Like the lambs that they would bring, and the Pharisees would say, as a blemish, we have to buy one from us. You can't sacrifice this one. These people have blemishes. Carousing means to eat together or to be in a public banquet. Notice what they do. They hang out in banquets. Their own deceptions while they feast with you. So they're having where? They're having communion. They're eating bread with you. They come to parties with you. And yet they seem like they're Christians, but they're not. They're not Christians. They're not Christians. So you have to really be careful who you fellowship with. You have to be careful. To make sure they're not using you to fleece you and to use your life and to deceive you. So you have to choose your friends very carefully in the church. Why? Because there's a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. Remember when Moses came out, a mixed multitude came out with them. And what happened? They infected the camp. And that's how churches get infected. So we need to be careful. Because he says they commune with you. They go to parties with you. They come to your communion table. They're there. And then he said this. Having eyes full of adultery. Notice what he's saying here. Eyes full of adultery. The word here is an adulteress. The word used here. The word that he uses here for the eyes, it goes back to what? Exodus 20:19. One of the Ten Commandments. It's called the Seventh Commandment. He says, and that cannot stop sinning. They can't stop. Their lust is so consuming, so out of bounds, and so devastating, they can't stop. The moment they wake up, man, they gotta sin. It's an appetite, it's a passion that they have. He says again, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained, notice, in covetous practices. Covetous practices. They're coveting for things. Even to the point where they'll kill to get it. Money, women, power, all these things. They can't help it. He says, and are accursed children. Wow. Accursed children. Anathema to the lowest hell. they're accursed. Verse 15, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Underline that. They have forsaken the right way, which means what? They were in the church. They knew what was right, but they denied it and willfully rejected it. And they went astray. Notice, following what? The way of Balaam. Balaam is found where? In the book of Numbers 22. Also mentioned in Jude verse 11. And then at the same time, Revelation chapter 2, 14. The sin of Balaam was the sin of greed. Remember the donkey? As he was riding the donkey, he was going, and they were asking him, the king was asking him to seduce the people of God and to pay him a bunch of money, but he said, no, God won't allow me to do it. But as more money was offered to him, on his way on a donkey, the angel of the Lord was standing there with a samurai and was going to cut off his head. And the donkey stood against the edge and crushed his leg. And Balaam started beating the donkey. And the donkey said, why are you beating me? I'm only keeping you from getting your head chopped off. The donkey started speaking, and Balaam spoke back to the donkey. He was so mad. That's what he did. And what did Balaam do? He stood there and he went, huh? I mean, what does God have to do in your life to get your attention? He was so mad, he started speaking to the donkey. That was his beautiful donkey. And the donkey speaking, I say, why are you beating me? Because you deserve to get beaten, you know? And here's this guy with the angel with a sword ready to cut off his head, saved his life, and he's beating him. I mean, what do we need to understand that God is trying to keep us from getting killed, from getting deceived, and there's angels, and there are people that are trying to get your attention, but you're not listening. And it's going to cost you eventually. Look what he says. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved money of unrighteousness. And what else? But he was rebuked for his sin. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Imagine that. God went out of his way in his love and grace and mercy and used his donkey to speak to him so that he would not be killed. Think of what God has done in your life, my life, to keep us from getting killed, from getting destroyed. But that's the love and the grace and the mercy of God in our lives. That's how much God loves you. That he'll use anything that he can use to keep you from sinning. And to keep you away from people like this that are trying to destroy your lives. And then finally he says this, verse 17. These are wells without water. Wow. Notice that. They're like clouds which are bringing, you know, they have no rain. And at the same time, they're empty clouds, which are what? Are being divinely led by Satan and his demons in people's lives. And check this out. There are wells without water, clouds carried by the tempest, for whom is reserved, what? The blackness and darkness forever. Underline that. What is the lake of fire like? Hell? Darkness. Darkness. Notice that blackness. You can't even see in front of your hand. Forever and ever and ever. And people will have all five senses there. And why? Because they do not believe the knowledge of the truth. They don't want to believe it. And yet God is speaking loud and clear through his word, through people. As the sun rises every morning and goes on in the evening, as we look at the stars, as we look at the ocean and we see everything, the hand of God. Nobody will be able to stand before God one day and say, Jesus, you never gave me an opportunity. That's not true. Everybody gets an opportunity before you die. Nobody will be able to point their finger at God. And the worst thing, think about this. If your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad or your grandpa or grandma, nephew, niece, cousin, whoever may be in this world, if you don't reach them by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be lost for all eternity. You'll never see them again. It's a done deal. Never see them again. Total separation from the darkness and we'll be in the light. And you'll never, ever, ever will be able to see them. They'll never see you again. They will be remembering, looking back, yelling, screaming, murmuring, and doing everything in the pain that they're going to feel forever and ever and ever. Gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. And yet we're going to be what? No more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. We're going to be what? In the presence of the Lord. Worshiping. And I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and that we will be transformed and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can go out and reach out to these people that he's talking about so that God can give them an opportunity before it's too late. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for these people that are in darkness today. And Father, yet you are tremendously giving opportunity over and over and over. And Father, these people don't want to listen, Lord God. Father, they're blinded by their arrogance. They're blinded by Satan. And Lord, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, for every person here tonight, Jesus. Lord, continually to pray for them, Lord God, that you would touch them, that you would anoint them. Thank you for them coming to Bible study, Lord God. Father, we pray that you continue as we're coming through 2 Peter, Lord God, to continue to learn. And Lord, if there's anybody here tonight, Jesus, young, old, whoever they are, if you're here tonight, those watching through the internet, in a moment we'll pray with you. But whoever is here tonight, and if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and you're ready tonight either to walk out of here without Christ, or right now he has spoken to you and you're ready to repent of your sins and to make things right before the Lord so you can be washed by his blood and have all your sins cleansed and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. To have your name written in the book of life and then to have the assurance that if you were to die, you would go to heaven. As you come by faith to Jesus Christ, he will save you and cleanse you and wash you by his blood. If there's anybody here that wants to do that, he calls you publicly. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door to their hearts, I'll come in, sup with you, and you with me. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, walk out onto the aisle, and come up here to the front where I am, and I'm going to pray with you. We're going to worship. As we worship, you get up and you come as God speaks to you. Thank you, Lord, for these. We pray for them. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Those watching the internet, ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts tonight, okay? Pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? You guys go right over there. Awesome. That's for me.
Thank you for listening to Somebody Loves You with Pastor Raul Ries. If you would like more information, contact us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765, or call us at 1-800-634-9165.